So the man hurried to warn everyone he could about Death's plan. As evening fell, the man saw the newspaper that said 1,000 people had died that day in the city. Just as he arrived at his home, he met Death once again. "You told me you were only going to take 100 people," the man said. "Why did 1,000 die?" "I kept my word," Death responded. "I only took 100 people. Worry took the others." Our text today is a familiar one, but I believe it's so appropriate for our lives right now. Please, if you've heard this verse before, let's have open ears to be able to hear it in light of what God wants to speak at this time in our lives. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, he said these words, "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I suppose that this text today is as much for me as for anybody. You know, I know that when Kim and I go on vacation and I'm away from work for a while, I actually get anxious when I start thinking about going back to work. Well, if I'm honest, I remember even when I was in school and I would be off sick. It would be terrible, the anxiety that would grip me, the fear even, when I worried about returning to school. I don't know, maybe anxiety is a part of my makeup. And now with this worldwide scare, I am perhaps as susceptible to worry as any. It's a real concern. Finances, health, but we know that God understands. He knows what we need. And he tells us in his word not to be strangled or to be choked as a result of it. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, those verses that we just read, three times Jesus says, "Do not worry." The Greek word that's used for worry is the concept of being strangled or choked by fear. In Jesus' day, people were rightly concerned about whether they would have the things they needed for their life, food and clothes among the top of their list. But they made striving for those things their main focus, their main priority, striving to the point of constant worry, constant strangling, choking worry. It drove and consumed their lives. It consumed their minds at the expense of things that Jesus would teach them and us are the right things to focus on, even in times like these. Because Jesus said, your heavenly Father really does know that you need life-sustaining provision and protection. And he says you can look to him to be your provider and your protector because he cares for you. And this is a key because he has purpose for your life here upon this earth. And he wants you to be able to be about that purpose. not be strangled, choked by worry to the point where it consumes you and you're not able to focus. But when you make your life about running after things that your Father knows you need, then you can't be focused on His purpose. He says, don't act like people that don't know God. Don't act like people that don't realize they are children of the King. He says, you don't need to be like that. You, he said, can be confident. You can be focused on the things that God desires for you to focus on. He says, these are the things that are the treasures of heaven. And he told us earlier in Matthew, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. He also taught us there in Matthew chapter 6, and part of what we call the Lord's Prayer, for us to pray, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he will later, at the end of Matthew, teach us. You remember when Jesus was asked about the end times, he said, listen, I want to tell you, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them food at the proper time? Don't you know it'll be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns? That message of Jesus was about what the church, his people, God's children should be about. The connection that we want to make this morning as children of the King is that we see God, our King, as our provider. We are children and citizens of His kingdom, and instead of needing to hoard for ourselves like people who don't know God, we seek to give of the provision God has given us, for that's a part of the purpose that He has for us on this earth. We give out of the provision we've been given, which, by the way, includes the provision of the Word of God, the Word of truth about Jesus, about salvation, about the kingdom of God. So the message is that we won't be about those things that choke us. We won't be consumed with those, but we will be about our Father, the King's business. We won't be worried only about ourselves. We won't be obsessed with the things that our Father knows we need and that He promises to provide, so that we can see that life is more important about striving for those things. Life is indeed about fulfilling the purpose that He has for us. As I was praying about that particular part of the message this morning, about God's purpose for us, I want you to know that it is in the fact that when we are about God's business, about His purpose, He will ensure that the purposes for our life that He has for us will be fulfilled. I want to just share with you how this played out in the Apostle Paul's life. Paul lived in troubled times as well. In fact, as you know, him sharing the gospel got him arrested. He wrote the book of Philippians from the Roman jail that he was bound up in. And I just want to share with you some of his words this morning to give us encouragement to understand this concept that if we are indeed about God's purpose for our life, we don't have to worry. Here's what Paul said. He starts out with a great confident word. He says, I thank God every time I remember you. Oh, my beloved, we've been remembering you all this week. We've been remembering you in prayer and how precious indeed you are to us and to God. He says that Paul says he was praying for all of you, and he was praying with joy as he remembered that you are about also the partnership in the gospel. He said this in verse 6, I am confident, he said, of being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion the day of Christ Jesus. Now that's a key hinge scripture in this text. He says, I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And then he's about to tell us how he's going to apply that same truth in his life, even as he is locked up. And in some ways, we have been locked up, right? He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, he said, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. So as we stop there just for a moment, we can see that Paul is saying God's in control. He says, I'm in jail, that's right, but I want you to know, just as I wrote in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 28, that God can work all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his what, church? According to his purpose. Paul, knowing that he was about God's purpose, says, you know what? I'm already seeing how God is using this. My beloved, God indeed is not the author of evil things, but he can certainly use them for his good. And I believe even as what's going on in our world today, God is at work using it for good, but he's using it by inspiring us, his people, his children, to do what we're called to do, to be children of the light, to be children of faith, to be children of the Most High God who demonstrated. Now, Paul says this. He says, you know, I know that through your prayers, verse 19, and the help given me by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Listen to what he says. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will be in no way ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For Paul was able to say these words. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what will I choose? I don't know, because I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But he says, it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. What Paul is saying is this. I've had a glimpse of heaven. I know how wonderful it will be. So I know that I don't need to worry. But I know this, that if God still has purpose for me on this earth, he's going to deliver me to be able to accomplish those purposes. So he says, convinced of this, I know I'll remain. Why was he convinced? Because he was about God's business. And he knew that God was still calling him to do things yet upon the earth. And in that confidence, he knew that he did not have to live in fear. He went on and told us that in verse 27 and in 28, he says, now you conduct yourself in like manner, in a manner worthy of the gospel. He says, listen, you don't need to be frightened in any way. That's a sign for those that don't know God. But you have come to know the God that is with you, that still has purpose for your life. This is why, now back to Jesus' words, Jesus would tell us that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to us as well. Because in seeking the kingdom of God, we're seeking that kingdom to be expanded in us and through us to the world. We're about God's business. We're about being his witness, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We have been indeed rescued from the kingdom of darkness, and we brought into the kingdom of God's Son, whom he loves. It's in that kingdom, that spiritual kingdom, that we live. Make no mistake about it. There's more going on here than meets the eye. God is on the throne. God is desiring to advance his kingdom. Do you know what that means, advancing God's kingdom? It means advancing the places where God is allowed to rule and reign. That starts with us in our heart. When we say, God, we want your kingdom to come in us. We want you to be our king, our Lord. We want you to be our God. We want to be your people. We want to be subjects of your kingdom because we know you are a good king. Jesus would say, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom and all the blessings that come from living within that peaceable kingdom. Listen, seeking God in these times, that's what it's about. Seek first the kingdom of God. Make it a priority. Seeking God first is about developing that love and passion for God in our lives. It's about the blessings that come when God is our first love, when he is our treasure, when he is our passion. It is about seeking God to find out what his will and his plans are for your life. You are indeed called by God. You are not an accident. You have been born with purpose. You've been called into his kingdom with purpose. And God still wants to work in you and through you. In you and through you, if you will indeed put him first in your life, if you will seek to do his will, if you will indeed not burden yourself to the point of choking out the word of God that he wants to speak in you, words that give life to the people all around you. You know, people are asking these days, could Jesus be ready to come back again? Is this a sign of the end times? Listen, my friends, we have been living in the end times ever since Jesus went back to heaven. But when he went back, he sent down the Holy Spirit, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And he gave us a mission to be his church. And he told us the gates of hell would not prevail against us. Jesus taught us that as we saw signs, be ready how? By doing the things that he told us to do. What's that? Being the light, being the salt, loving, helping, serving, sharing the good news. This is indeed what God desires for us to do in this time. The opportunity. Yes, the days are evil, but the opportunity is great. Jesus is Lord. I want to close with just a couple of words from the Psalms that I believe will lead us right into prayer this morning. Psalm 18 says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me, and the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me, and the snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called out to the Lord. I cried to my God for help, and from his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Lastly, hear these words from the 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in their midst. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. We indeed are the tabernacle of God. We are the habitation of the Most High. He is with us. Jesus made that possible. He made us right with God, that we can know God is right here with us. And when God is with us, who can be against us? When God is with us, what shall we fear? God is our help. He's our strength. He's our protector. He's our provider. He is a good, good Father. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we thank you, Lord, that we come to know you as not only the God who is all powerful, which you are, but a God who is all loving. A God who is aware of everything that's going on, everything that we're going through, and a God who is with us through it. Lord, we thank you for your protection. And we pray that, Lord, upon every single one. Lord, we pray that also you would provide for every need. And Lord, that you would indeed raise up your church at this time, that we too, Lord, can be a part of the provision that you desire to be shown in these days, that people will know. Lord God, just help us to be the most loving and generous people that this world has ever seen. Lord, because we know that you have taken care of us, our eyes then can be focused on your mission, your purpose for our lives, not to live in fear, but to live in faith, to live in power and love and with a sound mind. So grant your peace now, Lord. Continue your provision and protection and empower us, O God, to go forth and do your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, church. God bless you.